Allahu Akbar. Now, these words, Allahu Akbar, actually shape our worldview. It gives us our values. And it is the benchmark against which we decide what to do, when to do, how to do, etc. Now, how do these words actually relate in our day-to-day lives? When we say Allahu Akbar, firstly, it is an acknowledgement that Allah is above any idea, any perception that we have of Him. We cannot imagine His being. As human beings, we created from sand. And therefore, our perception and our imagination only extends and can only include that which is created. We cannot possibly imagine that which is not created. And Allah is beyond creation. And therefore, when we read the takbir after every salah in these 3 days, it is an acknowledgement that Allah is beyond any idea, any perception, any imagination of what we have of Him. We cannot perceive the being of Allah. We can understand the being of Allah through 2 things. One is that we know our Creator, we know the power of Allah through His attributes, through His 99 names. And the Quran begins with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And the most dominant attribute that is found in the Quran is Rahmah, mercy, compassion. Allah is the Rabb of mercy, of compassion. So, we know or we can, you know, have a glimpse of who Allah is by looking at His attributes. And 2, when we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, we acknowledge that everything around us bears testimony, mirrors the existence of Allah. And 2, so we know who Allah is by looking at the universe, by contemplating and looking at the stars, the heavens, the moon, the sun, the moon, the oceans, everything bears testimony to the existence of Allah. So we know who Allah is by studying and looking and reflecting at creation around us. And to illustrate the point, we have approximately 7.6 billion people on planet Earth. 7.6 billion people. Each individual is unique, looks different from the other. What is the artistry of Allah where He has created 7.6 billion people, each person with unique fingerprints, with unique facial features, with a unique tone, with unique preferences. Through this, we recognize the Qudra and the might of Allah. And these 7.6 billion people speak about approximately 6.5 million different languages or dialects. So in the world, there are approximately 6.5 million different languages or dialects. And if all 7.6 billion people lifted their hands and whispered and prayed to Allah in the 6.5 million languages, Allah would hear them more clearly than our hearing when one person speaks to us in the language that we understand. That is the might, that is the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at the sun, it is said that the sun is 1,300,000 times greater than planet Earth. It can take 1,300,000 Earths in this ball that we see moving every day from one position to the other, generating enormous heat. Who controls the movement of the sun? That is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. That's the declaration we're making after every fard salah in these days. So Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar is a demonstration, is an acknowledgement firstly, that we cannot comprehend the being of Allah, but we marvel at the attributes of Allah by reflecting at His creation. Secondly, these words, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, capture the spirit of sacrifice, perseverance and endurance displayed by Ibrahim alayhi salam, Hajra radiallahu anha, and their son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. When we say Allahu Akbar, it is an acknowledgement that life is a struggle. Life is a struggle. It is very much part of the DNA of man to be toiling, to be struggling. Everyone sitting here, every human being is doing battle, is struggling. Some are struggling with pain, with sickness. Some people are struggling because of poverty. Others are struggling because of wealth. Some have family issues, issues with their children or with their spouses. But everyone is in some kind of struggle, some kind of toil. And Allah says, Ya ayyuhal insan, O man, not O Muslim. Allah is saying, Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqihi. That O man, you are toiling. You are painfully toiling towards your Rabb. And فَمُلَاقِيهِ, you will eventually stand before Him. You will eventually meet your Rabb. So when we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, it is a reminder to us that in our toil and in our struggle, we should learn to respond to our challenges and not react to them. When we react to challenges, it is simply an emotional response, a gut reaction, which is based on fear and insecurity. That is when we react to challenges. When we respond to challenges, it is out of conviction that Allah knows my pain. It is out of belief that Allah knows my struggle. It is out of this conviction that Allah sees, Allah hears, and Allah appreciates what I am going through. And I will respond in the belief that I am a Muslim and I have to respond in a particular manner, and that Allah would reward me for my response. So in this verse that I've read before you, Allah says, O man, you are going to toil. You are toiling. You are painfully toiling. And you are going to meet Him. What is the correlation, the connection between the first part of the verse and the second part of the verse. The first part of the verse states, life is a struggle. You're going to be toiling, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or illiterate, whether you're young or old, whether you're male or female, the law of life is but a struggle. But Allah says, and you're going to meet him. فَمُلَاقِهِ. In other words, the toil, the pain, the sacrifice that you're making is not in vain. It has a purpose. It has a meaning, which will become evident only the day you stand in the court of Allah, where Allah will reward you for responding appropriately to the very many challenges you face. So when we say Allahu Akbar, it is an acknowledgement that you are not alone in your toil, in your struggle, in your pain. Allah is with you, and Allah is testing you. And therefore Ibn Taymiyyah says that a calamity that makes you turn to Allah is better for you than a blessing which makes you forget the remembrance of Allah. A calamity that makes you turn to Allah is better for you than a blessing which makes you forget the remembrance of Allah. So when we say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, it is an acceptance that life is a challenge. What I'm going through is a trial, a test. I need to respond appropriately in the belief that my Allah is watching and that my Allah would reward me for what I do and how I respond. These words, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, also gives us the assurance of the help of Allah in ways that we cannot perceive. And the Zamzam is a living testimony to this. How did the Zamzam originate? Ismail alayhi salam was left with his mother at the foot of Mount Safa in Marwa. That time it was desert, no human being in sight. The scorching sun of the desert hitting them. And Hajra runs, makes the sa'i, runs between Safa and Marwa, which eventually results in Zamzam flowing. The problem is, as humans, we want the Zamzam without wanting to make the sa'i. We want the unseen help of Allah without wanting to do the toil and the struggle. It was only after Hajra ran on the mountains, radiallahu anha, between Safa and Marwa, looking for some kind of assistance, that the Zamzam eventually flowed. So you don't expect the Zamzam if you're not willing to make the sa'i. Sa'i means the toil, the struggle. And in the same way, the ram from Jannah came down only after Ibrahim alayhi salam placed his son on the ground. And if we are not willing to sacrifice our vain desires and egos, we cannot expect that ram from Jannah to be evident in our lives. So the lesson of Allahu Akbar is, our lives are not determined by what happens to us, but rather how we react to what happens to us. Not by what life brings to us, but the attitude we bring to life. That was the distinguishing factor between Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and those that were not able to place the sword on the beast within. So Allahu Akbar is a reminder that never despair of the help of Allah. But your challenge is to respond in the way that attracts the nusra and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A scholar commenting on these words, Allahu Akbar, says, what a tremendously empowering creed this is when you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. From the smallest to the largest, everything in the universe depends on Him. So Allahu Akbar is actually an acknowledgement of our dependence on Allah. And also an acceptance that He depends on no one. All the powers are illusory. He is the only real power. Allahu Akbar is a reminder that this world is but an illusion. It's a dream. It's not a reality. Your promise of happiness and joy will never be achieved in this world. As the Quran so graphically portrays this, and it says, yes, كَسَرَابٍ بِقِيعَةٍ يَحْسَبُ الظَّمْآنُ مَاءً. Says, you want to know what life is? Life is that mirage in the desert that the thirsty person mistakes for the promise of water. And he moves on and on. He struggles in the hope that he will eventually reach the oasis and find the water. But in the end, he dies a thirsty death. Because there's no reality to that mirage that you see in front. It is simply an illusion, a false promise. Wake up and see the world for what it really is. So he says, all other powers are illusory. He is the only real power. When we say Allahu Akbar, we acknowledge that when He is on our side, we need to fear no one. And if He is not pleased with us, the support of the world for us will be naught. Worldly powers try to manipulate people by telling them what they can do for them and what they can do to them. But a person informed by Allahu Akbar will not be tempted by the first, nor intimidated by the second. The power of world powers evaporates before the shout of Allahu Akbar. In fact, there is no empowerment outside this belief of Allahu Akbar, and there is no enslavement to other human beings with it. When we say Allahu Akbar, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the reality of these words. How liberating, empowering they are if we only accept and spend time reflecting on what they really mean. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.